Hallelujah. It's good to see everybody here, and I don't plan to really speak very long. I'm kind of in between because we're in this series that we're doing. If you're watching for the first time, again, we welcome you to Heirs Covenant Church, our live stream. We're located in Hamilton, Ohio, 621 South Erie Boulevard. And in Hamilton, our building is called the Embassy. And if you live in this area, we welcome you to come worship with us. I'm John W. Stevenson, and I serve as the apostle, the senior pastor, and CEO. You're welcome to come worship with us. We've been in a series called Living Together Unoffended. Living together unoffended. Since we've been doing this teaching, anybody been tested in this area? see, like my job is to teach it. The Holy Ghost's job is to give you the test and to walk you through the test. And you can go back and you can find on our web, on HeirsCovenant.com, the teachings there that will help you to know what we've been talking about in the area of living together unoffended. Jesus shares in Luke 17, verse 1, it is impossible that no offenses should come, simply meaning you will get offended at some point, or there will be the opportunity to be offended. When we talk about offense or being offended, it talks about words like, or words that would be, maybe synonyms might be words like upset, hurt, wounded, injured, insulted. Those are words that kind of fit with, not kind of, but they in many ways really tie into offense, being offended, or offending someone. And I'm prayerful that in what I'm sharing, it's going to help all of us to recognize our responsibility to live offense-free, okay? To live offense-free. And when I say that, I mean that we are not taking on offense and we're not offending others. Right. And so again, I want to encourage you to go back and look at those teachings, because I share a number of points that I don't want to spend time going back through, because it just doesn't help us to move forward, and it gives you opportunity to do some work yourself. Amen. One of the things that I did share, and I want to pick up on this point, that when you walk through offense, been offended, or you offended someone, or someone feels you've offended them, or you feel someone offended you, that's the opportunity for us, first and foremost, to examine ourselves, where we're at, with either what's been said or what's been done. One of the things that I shared on Wednesday night, in terms of my journey of having been offended, walking through that, getting out of the maze of offense. When I talk about the maze of offense, I'm talking about this maze we create because we're offended, we're hurt, we're wounded, and we share that with others, and others who love us, care for us, they take on that same hurt. They start to carry, shoulder that as well. And before you know it, it's a maze of offense. They share it with someone else. They share it with someone else. Share it with someone else. Then before you know it, you're in this maze. That's what's on the screen right now. So that's you in the middle. When you're offended and you begin to share it with others, you create that kind of maze of offense, because everybody who you talk to who love and cares for you, they're going to take your side with it. Okay? And so I shared how that I had done that many years ago, and it just was not fruitful in my pursuit of truth on the inward parts. And I believe that at the end of the day, hear me now, at the end of the day, it's not what people think about you, it's what God knows about you. Okay? It's what the Father says about you. That's why it was important when God the Father spoke concerning Jesus, "This is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased." He was setting the record straight that no matter what happens after this, this is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. As a matter of fact, he said it a second time on the Mount of Transfiguration with Peter, John, and James. Peter, John, and James were on the Mount of Transfiguration with Jesus. They saw that Jesus was there, and he was there, I think, with a couple of the prophets. And Peter said, "Let's build three tabernacles. tabernacles and stay here, meaning one for Jesus and the prophets. And then all of a sudden a voice spoke again and said, no, this is my beloved son in whom I'm well pleased, meaning Jesus. And so there's something about the affirmation from the Father, our Heavenly Father, that helps us to not get offended over things that are said to us or even done to us. Now, there's a whole nother place that we have to be willing to live in if we're not going to offend others, and I want to get to that a little bit. But I shared my journey and coming out of that journey, the things that God walked me through so that I could be free of offense, of being offended or offense. And meaning, you know, at the time I was serving in a church, high visibility, worship leader. And when I left offended, and I told some folk about it, and they told some folk about it, and they told some folk about it. And so later on down the road, even some years later, you know, you start to hear things like, oh man, yeah, I heard about that. You know, that's wrong how they did you. Man, they did you wrong, you know. Well, see, that's the maze. Now, you got free. I got free of that, reconciled with my brothers, but they didn't know that. So God had to walk me through all that, and then I publicly shared something to help others. Here's what the statement I want to make as I move forward. There's only one way out of the maze of offense. And the road is paved with these stones. And I'm just going to give you this list, and we'll kind of unpack these over the next couple of weeks. The road is paved with these stones. Love, mercy, grace, humility, forgiveness, repentance, surrender, trust, obedience, and lastly, I add, truth. Now, I know that's a long list. Pastor Deborah, do you still have that list back there? If you could just put that up for just a moment. Someone may want to take a picture of that or write those down real quick. Because all of these things are very important to you and I living victoriously and living free. We can declare, we can decree all day long. We can talk about purpose, we can talk about destiny all day long. But if you're going to walk in a place of freedom in your life and victory in your life, you must know that these things here are key in every believer's life. That's why when Paul is writing and he's talking in Corinthians and he's talking about the gifts, he says the greatest gift of all is love. The greatest gift of all is love. And going back to what I just said a moment ago, when you can live in the place that says, my Father, my Heavenly Father, loves me unconditionally. At the end of the day, there's nothing I can do to gain His love. There's nothing I can do to lose His love. And out of that love, it should produce a secure place for you and I. So it's in Psalms 119, verse 165. It says, great peace have they that love thy law, the word, and nothing shall offend them. Great peace have they that love thy law, the word, and nothing shall offend them. And then later on in Acts 24, verse 16, Paul writes this. He says, and herein do I exercise myself. Say discipline. How many of you know to exercise takes discipline? Okay. How many know physical exercise takes discipline? Okay. I was working out last night at 10:30 because I just didn't get it in during the day, and I didn't want to go to bed without at least getting on the elliptical for a little bit. So I got on the elliptical and I put on "All My Life You Have Been Faithful," and I just let it play over and over and over for the next 45, 50 minutes to an hour. And I went to bed. Well, I showered and went to bed. It's discipline. Say discipline. Yes. See, I wish I had known then when I got offended what I know now. I wish that I was more mature then than I am now. Because one of the things that I said to us all early on relative to being offended is that opportunities can come of offense can come through, I say, insecurities, but then I also say immaturity. Say immaturity. So one of the things that really hinders the body of Christ and is hindering the body of Christ right now is immaturity. Immaturity. It's unfortunate because we are so quick to, in the process of God maturing us, if we don't like it, what's the term used like when you're taking a class, you're in college, you take a class, and then you drop it. Yeah. So you're in this particular semester, this season, and you're taking this test, and you don't like the test, or you realize, I don't think I'm going to pass this test, so I'm just going to drop it. Is there anything that you've dropped? Because you didn't like the course? Oh. It's too hard.
Jesus.
David, you're in school right now, right? You're taking some courses. Okay. I'm not picking on you, man. That just came to mind. God's going to bless you. Just stay focused. Paul said, herein do I exercise myself to always have a conscience void of offense towards God and towards men. It's Paul saying, I'm doing my best to discipline myself so that I'm not offending God and I'm not offending other and I'm not offending folk. Because here's a reality and a dynamic that we need to keep before us all the time. Your walk in Christ and everything God has intended to do in your life isn't just contingent on your relationship with God. There's this relationship and then there's this relationship. And the challenge for many when we talk about not maturing is when something happens and we don't recognize it as a test that you have the opportunity to pass, get the grade, get the degree, get the diploma, and move on, and you drop out or you drop it. Then you lose out on what you could have received, and for many, remain in a place of immaturity. So you don't like the way things are going at a certain church, even though the issue isn't about the church, it's really about you. So you decide you're going to leave. You remain in an infantile place oftentimes because what God was intending to do to grow you up, to strengthen you and mature you, now you've missed it. God in his mercy, his grace, his goodness, his love, he'll bring that test around again. Oftentimes in another season of your life. But how many of you know it's good to pass it when you take it the first time? It's good to study in the season you're supposed to be studying. See, I was a classic summer school student. You know, I can talk about it now because anybody else? A few of y'all. Some of y'all, you just did it right when you're supposed to do it and you're done and you're good. That's great. That wasn't my story. I had to go to summer school at least twice to make up. I didn't graduate college. I had a full scholarship in vocal music. But I squandered it. You know why? Because I wasn't disciplined, because I wasn't mature. I was so busy enjoying the social life. I was playing bass guitar, I was already playing with a band, we were already playing weekends up on campus and other locations. But see, that's before I really understood God's purpose and plan for my life. Because with the understanding of God's plan and purpose for your life, It'll move you to some places of discipline if you really want to walk it out. It will cause you not to drop out. Don't drop the course. Don't drop the class. There's something God wants me to get out of this. And so I need to stick this out. I need to stay right here and get through this, because on the other side of it, I'm going to be more mature. Do you understand that going on to higher learning is as much about it's as much about learning higher levels of discipline as it is about the information you're learning? Yes. Sometimes the information you learn, you're never really going to use that at all. But you've built disciplines into your life. And God has a way that if you don't get it that way, He's going to let you get it this way. Paul says, herein do I exercise myself to always have a conscience void of offense toward God and towards men. So the question then becomes, how do we live free from offense? I want to tell you, it starts with your commitment to live a disciplined life. It starts with my commitment to live a disciplined life. It starts with my commitment that says, no matter what anybody says or does to me, I will not take offense. Well, how in the world do you do that? I'm glad you asked that question. We are alive in Christ, dead to the world. We are alive in Christ, dead to the world. In Galatians, the writer says it like this: I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ lives in me. And the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Simply meaning, I've got to walk this out as a dead man. Are you listening to me? Now, we're not The Walking Dead, so if you ever watch that series, that's not what I'm, we're not. We're not The Walking Dead, okay? That's not us. However, when the question is posed, well, how do we live in this place and not get offended? Because opportunity will come. Some of you had some opportunities just this past week, didn't you? What'd you do with it? Did you pass the test? Oh, thank you. Thanks for being honest. Sister said no. But I want to tell you why this is so important. We've gone through, and I'm going to pull this in for now, because there's just so much stirring in me right now about this season that we find ourselves in. And I'm not just talking about here locally, I'm talking about in the nations. There's two things God spoke to me around what he's bringing to this house that are going to be very important for us in the future. One is this. Worship team members, where's my worship team members? Yeah, stand up. Yeah, come up here, worship team. The four of you, just these right here. Yeah, just stand right here. Stand right here, right here. Edie, stand right here. Kareem, over here. David, over here. I love when I see something like this. Oh, right. Yes. Oh, you can stand up too if you want. You should keep it even. No, here's why. Because it tells me somebody's listening. Somebody's listening. Somebody's listening. And we're modeling it. And the message. Thank you all. I just wanted to see it again. Now hear me. Because you see, over these last couple of months, I've talked about conquering fear. Now I'm talking about living together, unoffended. So let me do a little bit of connecting of the dots here. One of the privileges that I have is being connected with a number of different ministries. I'm connected to a ministerial faith ministry out in Portland, connected to Dr. Bill Winston's ministry. I'm connected to a gentleman named Joseph Matera that leads a group of a Christian coalition of leaders from all over the country and abroad. 2 weeks ago, the gentleman, the special guest on the Thursday morning, was a major general in Palestine who's sharing with us detailed information of how they're strategically trying to handle the things that are going on over there. It's important that we don't miss this time of the teachings. And here's why. Because in 2024, there will be things that happen that will cause people to fear like they've never feared, been in fear before. In 2024, let me say it a different way. In 2024, people are going to begin to operate out of fear because of the information that they start to hear and they take in. In 2024, there will be a unleashing of offense like we have never seen in our nation. People are going to get offended, and lines are going to start to be drawn. Politically, socially, economically, religiously. And I believe the mandate that God has given me is to share teachings that help us now to be better prepared. Because fear is going to grip the hearts of many. And offense will be unlike any other time in our nation. We are in the world, but not of this world. We may live in the geographical location of the United States of America, but we are residents and citizens of the kingdom of God. And the things that I'm sharing with you, sharing with us, those that are watching, is to help us live above it. You can no longer just quote, we are seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, and not aspire to live your life out of that place. I know that life is challenging. I grapple with the fact that I'm seeing and I hear the things that people are dealing with on a very personal level. And at the same time, I'm saying, but help us to rise above it so that we are able to live our lives and be used by God in a world that's full of chaos. Where people are dying. People are on their way to hell and don't even know it. And our responsibility and mandate remains the same. It's what Jesus spoke in the end of the book of Mark and in the end of the book of Matthew. Go into all the world and make disciples of all men. Didn't make me make church members, make disciples, make followers of Christ. And it's challenging when you and I are dealing with, I don't want to offend anybody. But this is the truth. For many, we're still dealing with the mundane things. That Jesus talked about in Matthew when he said, look, the birds don't care about, they know they're going to eat. You see these lilies? They come and they go. Why do you keep talking about and thinking about what you're going to wear, what you're going to eat? Don't do that. My Father has already taken care of those things for you. I need you to live above it. I need you to rise above it. I need you to mature. I need you to come into a place of responsibility so I can give to you what the world needs. And then out of obedience, we just simply respond. For every day for you and I, when we get up, it should be, God, I thank you for this day. I thank you that everything is taken care of that I would ever need. Help me to be a blessing to someone else. And then look for that opportunity. Yesterday, I went and I got a coffee. And a lot of times I'll get up and go drive to UDF, get a coffee. And I watched this man next to me. He was putting some boxes in the back of his truck. And when I was going in, when I came out, I heard him talking to somebody, and he was talking to this gentleman, and he was saying, yeah, and we're going to get this building, and God's going, you know, we're just going to begin to serve, da, da, da. He's sharing his vision. Yeah. So I'm just kind of listening, walking into the car. I get in my car, and I just kind of felt this nudge as the Holy Spirit said, just say hi to him. So it's kind of rainy, you know, so my mom, it's raining, you know, he ain't trying to. So y'all know how we do. You know, we kind of rationalize that thing right out and pull on off. Just, you know, head on back home. But he paused enough to take off this thing he had on to get in. So when he did, I jumped out the car. I knocked on his window. I said, hey, how you doing, man? I just overheard you talking. He said, hey, how you doing, you know? And so I said, hey, I just want to hear a little bit more about what it is you're doing. So he gets out and we're talking for a minute. And it's still kind of rainy. So I said, hey, well, you know, you want to just sit in my car for a minute? He says, yeah. So we get in the car, and he's sharing with me, you know, how God has delivered him from addictions, and now he's reaching out to others, and he wants to have this house that he can help people, and he's ministering here in Hamilton. And he tells me about this building that's boarded up, and he's believing God for. He said, and the owner said he didn't want to sell it. And he said, but I'm just praising God. He said, I got a call from him today and said, excuse me, what would you offer me for it? And so I said, well, what would you offer him? Do you have some money saved up? He said, no, I don't have a dime saved up. He said, but I know my Father. So we talk a little more and then as we're talking, his name was John. We talked a little more, and so while we're sitting there, the Holy Spirit speaks and says, give him your money and your wallet. I start trying to remember how much money I got in my wallet. Because he said, give him all the money you have in your wallet. So I'm like, yeah, back out that bad shit, okay? No, I didn't do that. I didn't do that, Gary. And then I heard the Holy Ghost say, now, I'm thinking that hear me. This is how covered. I'm thinking that Holy Ghost says, does it matter? I'm thinking about how much I have. Holy Ghost says, does it matter? And it reminded me of something that I've taught when I said, you know, God doesn't look at what you give. He looks at what you got left. Yeah. Yeah, just look at somebody and say, what's in your wallet? And I just took all the money that I had, all the cash I had, and I just handed it to him. And I said, I just want to be obedient and I want to bless you. Now, to this moment, I don't know how much it was. It wasn't a couple dollars, I'll tell you that. Here's my point. And I hope that you're hearing me, because I feel like I'm rambling, but I'm not rambling. The Bible says he gives seed to the sower.
That's right. Seed to the sower.
You know what that tells me? I just sowed yesterday. Right. It's coming back. Right. It's coming. Because while I'm sitting there in my car rationalizing, you know what Holy Spirit starts doing to me? He starts reminding me of people that have sown into my life. He reminded me specifically, he said, you do remember sitting in your office and a gentleman walking in and handing you a check for $10,000, right? I'm like, as quick as I can. Because here's the thing. I'm still talking about maturity now. I'm talking about the place of maturity. Because he gives seed to the sower, bread to the eater. Now, to eat. Now, I want you to see this. Those are two separate things. I give seed to the sower, meaning the one who has disciplined themselves and walked out of that mature place of being a giver, one to sow. They have demonstrated consistently that lifestyle. I know I can give to them, and they will give it as I instruct them to give it. And I give bread to eat, meaning you never have to take what he's given you to sow and use it to eat. No farmer eats their seed. You got to get it in the ground. John and I, we exchanged numbers. I'm sure that I'll talk with him again. The very least, just to encourage him. Because I told him this. I said, John, know this. God is raising up believers now in this hour. Yes. Who are not interested in being famous.
All right.
But they are interested in being effective in God's kingdom.
Yes.
I said, and know this. God is going to supply what you need as you remain faithful. Is going to be a tumultuous year on many levels. But for those who are part of the kingdom of God, you will be sustained, you will be blessed, and you will see increase in your lives. I need a few more of y'all to just act like you believe that for yourself. Because things are shifting. And all it takes is for you to look beyond your world and look on the larger platform and understand this, that God is moving all over the world. God is moving all over the world It's just not being publicized. The media has its agenda, its narrative. We don't live by that. So I'm going to share just this one thought with you real quick. Ephesians 4, 1 through 7. Paul is writing here to the church, and he is talking to them about relationships. He's talking to them about how to live their lives. I'm just going to read these verses right here, make one point, and then we'll end out for now as far as the teaching. Ephesians 4, 1 through 7, it says this, I, the prisoner of the Lord, implore you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling with which you have been called. Say, every believer has a call. Every believer has a call. But then look at how he says you are to walk it out. With all humility and gentleness, with patience, showing tolerance for one another, meaning just simply not tolerating one another. But a commitment to continue to walk with one another in love. With all humility and gentleness, with patience, showing tolerance for one another in love. Being diligent to preserve the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Being diligent to preserve the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Being disciplined to preserve the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. How do I live free from offense? By the grace of God, I begin to walk in a place of discipline to preserve the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. It goes on and says, there is one body and one Spirit, just as also you were called in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. Verse 7, but to each one of us was given, each one of us grace was given according to the measure of Christ's gift. But to each one of us, grace was given according to the measure of Christ's gift. Now, Paul is addressing here how to interact with one another and not get caught up in who's doing what and who gets to do what. You've heard the term Monday morning quarterback? You heard that term? Yeah, that just simply means, you know, somebody's watching the game and then Monday morning they're going to say, well, if I was leading the team, you know, then they'd say how they would have done it. Any of you ever been in a place where you're looking at a leader, or it could be someone on your job, it could be your boss, it could be a manager or a supervisor, and you're saying, yeah, if it was me, I'd do this. Anybody ever been there? Yeah. I've been there, and quite more times than I really want to admit when it comes to serving in church and thinking, yeah, see, if I was the pastor. What I'm not acknowledging is the grace that's there for the person that's operating. But to each one of us, grace was given according to the measure of Christ's gift. Meaning, your area that God has called you to, there will be a grace for you to operate in that area. It can look very similar to someone else's area, but the grace may not be the same. And if the grace isn't the same, guess what? You can step into that and you get overwhelmed by it. Because you don't have the same grace operating on your life. So often, people end up in place of offense because of the way they're viewing things or the way that they're interacting. Paul writes here, he says, walk in the manner worthy of the calling which with you have been called. And he says, you're to do it out of humility and gentleness, with patience, with temperance, long-suffering for one another in love, being diligent to preserve the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Just simply meaning my commitment to you is to live my life in a way that minimizes offense or being offended. And I will do all that I can to preserve the unity that we are supposed to have as believers and brothers and sisters in Christ. And then there is the need for me to recognize the grace that's on your life, the grace that God has given to you. There is the need, and this is my point here, there is the need that if we're going to walk in and live free of offense, we commit to one another. We commit to keep walking with one another. We commit to protecting and preserving the relationship with one another. We commit to protecting and preserving the relationship with one another. We commit to protecting and preserving the relationship that we have with one another. It's called covenant. It's called covenant. Here at Ayers Covenant Church, we say we are a Christian community walking in covenant relationship with God and one another. That's what we say. That's what we endeavor to walk out. How many of you know that in a covenant relationship, it's only as strong as the two give themselves and commit themselves to the covenant? Do you understand that? A covenant is only as strong as those committed to keeping the covenant. That can be a binding contract, legal contract, business contract. It can be marriage relationship. It's only as strong as the two are committed to the covenant. The paper that is written on, the ink that signs it, is only as good as those who committed to it and their willingness to walk it out. And what Paul is doing right here, and this is what we're going to look at over the next few weeks, is he's saying, this is how you are to live your life so that you can live free of offending or being in offense, being offended or offending someone else. I think I'm going to stop right there. Thank you. This thing is serious, y'all. Do you hear me? This thing is serious. And the church, the body of Christ, we are the answer. And we are going to have to stand up, be sure-footed in truth. Standing up together, committed to one another, committed to our relationships with one another. We can say there's nothing you could do that would offend me. I pray there's nothing I ever do that offends you. But if I do, I want to know that we walk in the kind of relationship that you won't distance yourself from me. You'll come to me. And my commitment is, while I may not like what you say, I will hear it. And if it's on me, I will own it. If it's not on me, then God's going to help us to gain the understanding. Because no matter what, the covenant stays intact. Can we believe for that? Come on, let's thank the Lord. Can we believe for that? Can we believe for the grace for that?
Thank you, Lord.
Much of the body of Christ is in immature places because we've not been willing to be held to this level of accountability. We've not held ourselves to this level of accountability. We've not held one another to this accountability, to this level of accountability. God's going to help us. He is helping us. So Father, I thank you right now. Father, I thank you for what just feels like a sobering moment. And I believe it's because you're moving, Holy Spirit, right now. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Father, I know what you've spoken to me concerning this coming year. Help us to be ready. Help us to be ready. Father, I pray that as you're walking us through this teaching on offense, that we are growing, we are changing, and that we are better for it. Thank you, Father, for helping us. Thank you for helping us. If you're one and you said, yeah, this past week wasn't a real good week for me when it comes to offense, take a moment right now and just offer that up to the Lord. He sees all. He knows all. Receive the grace. Receive the grace right now. Thank you, Father. Father, I pray for those that may be watching right now, that you would minister grace to them, even as, God, you are helping us to be healed of offenses, owning our own times of offending others, and helping us to yield ourselves as you make all things right. Father, I thank you right now that by your Spirit and your Word, you are bringing about healing, restoration, restitution. Thank you for that right now. Thank you for that right now. Would you say amen?